Welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcello.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business.
Today, I am speaking with Robin Fisher-Roffer. She is one of the world's premier brand strategists, having launched and reinvented huge brands such as Animal Planet, CNN, Comedy Central, Discovery, Disney Channel, Fox Lifetime, and MTV, just to name a few. Robin is releasing the second edition of her book, Your No Fear Career, on September 7th. Throughout this book, Robin shares practical tools to help you clarify your true purpose and empower you to set goals that will transform your career and your life. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Robin.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited. I've read the book and I have a ton of questions for you and a ton of things that I want to talk about. But before we dive into all of that, can you give us a little bit more information about what you're doing right now and how you've gotten to this point?
Oh, what am I doing right now? Well, it is the beginning of upfront season. So upfront season for television clients is all about advertising agencies buying media from them upfront of the fall season. So we're building all the stories that Fox and FX and National Geographic and Fox Sports and Food Network and Cooking Channel and HGTV and the list goes on and on.
I'm sure.
Companies we're working for to tell their story, to articulate the vision that they have, the content that they're going to have, and all the ways they're going to tie advertisers to that content and bring their fans to these brands that are out there in the advertising world. So it's very exciting. It never is dull. I've had my company now 25 years as of last week.
Congratulations. And that's a big milestone.
It's huge. And I've been on the forefront of the media revolution since then. You know, back then it was, you know, one network, you know, trying to just be all about animals, like Animal Planet.
Right.
It's so easy, you know?
Right.
And now it's like all these platforms they're on and the storytelling's fun. The other thing that I'm doing, obviously, is I'm out speaking and promoting this book, Your No Fear Career, and helping executives and business owners to be fearless in the way that they approach business in these uncertain times. And then I'm writing a new book about love and how to be fearless in love, which I'm learning how to do.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it's a journey for you as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is.
And a very personal one at that. That takes fearlessness in and of itself, I think, to be able to share your own experiences in that.
Yeah, and it's a memoir, so it's exactly doing that. And then sort of my quest now, after having my business for 25 years and raising my child who's going to be a senior in high school and being a single working mom, how do you find your companion and your complement? So that's also part of being fearless. And I'm approaching it with a lot of the tips and tools that I have in this book, Your No Fear Career, which is using my intuition to move into action and taking risks and saying yes and trying things. And if they don't work out, well, I learned a lot, right? Yeah. And moving on.
Yeah. This is a theme that has been coming up for us in these last few episodes, which none of them have been released yet. So it's been funny for me as we're recording them that fear has been this ongoing theme. Marcella and I were doing one about, you know, don't fear technology. And then this started to come up again with some other guests and obviously with you and your book, Your No Fear Career. And I think the reason that that's coming up time and again, which you mentioned, is that we are really shifting. And especially for a lot of these traditional industries, I would love to hear more of your perspective over the last 25 years of how you and your coworkers in the industry have had to adapt and change to changing media.
Well, it's so interesting that you asked that question, because I just got off the phone with the chief marketing officer of Wunderman, which is a huge digital agency. And Jamie said to me, you know, in the old days, you watched a 30-second spot about Pampers. You would target that spot to soap opera watchers. Right. And after they watched the soap opera and saw the Pampers ad, you would send them a coupon to their house, and they would take that coupon and go to the local grocery store and buy their Pampers. It's pretty easy, right?
Yep. Maybe XYZ.
XYZ. Super quick. Find that stay-at-home mom and send her a coupon for Pampers, get her to go in the store. And you could actually track that purchase through the coupons. You couldn't track if actually the ad got her there, right? But we used to believe that a marketing mix had to involve all that. So now we have digital. So now she's buying her Pampers on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't really care if it's Pampers. It could be Huggies. It could be another brand, as long as it's got the best deal and it's delivered to her door. She's not even walking in the grocery store anymore. And how is she supposed to have an experience with a brand? Right. Because now it's a click, right? And it's who's got the best price. Yeah. How do we matter to her? So in working with the media, I've seen this evolution of having to find a holistic media solution for a client so that they can move the needle on their business. And what that's created is a need for knowledge, a thirst for knowledge among people who are selling and people who are buying media. But I don't want to just talk about media. I mean, we could talk about pharmaceuticals. We could talk about the education system. We could talk about hospitals. We could everything with mergers and acquisitions and technology. The world has become uncertain. You have to have a lot more knowledge, and you have to create holistic solutions. It really doesn't matter what business you're in.
Yeah, you're completely right, and I think it's a really interesting point. And it's something. How have you been able to convince the people that you work with, the clients that you're working with, that they do need to approach it from this holistic perspective? How do you, you know, for somebody listening to the podcast and they're coming up against a lot of, we've always done it this way and it's always worked for us and we're doing fine. Is it just education? Are there some people that just aren't going to be convinced? How do you approach that?
I think today executives feel like they're on a hamster wheel and they're just going around and around and around because it's very hard for them to get out of the lane that they've always been driving in. And a lot of those executives are going to get discarded because they're not comfortable stepping out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so they can feel like almost a clock, you know, beating out time for when they're just, you know, eventually going to have to either be discarded or move on. That is not the way to go through what's happening right now in my mind. Right. I feel like fearlessness is measured between the moment you get an intuition or a gut hit. And that gut hit is like, I've got to go and get educated. You brought that up. I've got to go get educated about this. I've got to take a class. I've got to learn more. I've got to shadow this person who understands data so that I can be better at my job. And we get that hit. And instead of taking the action to go do it, we stay in our lane where our comfort is. And that is the way to be so unfulfilled in our jobs.
Right.
Right.
And to burn out.
And to burn out. Right. So it's in learning the new things and taking the micro risk, which is maybe taking a class and having to, you know, fill our plate a little bit higher is really going to bring us a lot more success going forward. So I think, you know, what I'm seeing is executives that are willing to embrace change, who are willing to fearlessly move forward in the face of uncertainty, and those that aren't. And the book that I've written is for the ones that are willing, the ones that are open, the ones that want to have an incredibly purpose-driven career that brings them so much passion and joy every day.
Yeah. I want to point out one of the things you said. I love that phrase, take that micro risk, because I think a lot of times we look at this and we think we're going to have to change everything and we got to throw it all out and start over. And it doesn't have to be that way. Take the next right step, move the needle forward, educate yourself a little bit, and then things will become more clear from there. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about that fulfilling life. And a common theme that seemed to come up throughout your book is the importance of self-knowledge, the importance of taking the time to look within yourself and figure out what you want, why you want it, you know, what really matters. And, you know, just then you have that base. You have that base to move forward. You have that base to take a risk and know that it's for the right reasons. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the hardest thing in life is knowing what to say yes to and knowing what to say no to. Yeah. Isn't that, it's difficult, right?
It's very difficult. I just heard something recently that has become my new thing to live by, which was if you're trying to make a decision, if it makes you feel trapped, it's the wrong decision. If it makes you feel free, then that's the right way to go. And it spoke to me in that it was such a gut check in a very tangible way, because we've all had those feelings. We've all come up against a seemingly great opportunity, but our gut is saying, oh, this is making me feel trapped. But I'm sure you have more insight into that as well.
I love what you just said, because it goes to intuition. I just think that it's just right on. I think that's great. If you have a mission statement, which is your North Star, if you have a true purpose, which the book, Your No Fear Career, actually gives you the exercise to find that mission, then you're going to know exactly what to say yes to and what to say no to. I said yes to talking on your podcast because for me, you're on mission. You're helping me to support my mission, which is to inspire and empower companies, teams, executives to embrace change. So it's my entire purpose and reason for being on the planet at this time is to help people embrace change. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I want to talk to you about the book, and I know to say yes. And I know this is, you know, already it's so much fun to talk to you about this. I wish I could just talk about fearlessness all day and having a purpose-driven life. Because when you are on mission and you're doing that, and it should be like 7 words or less. So mine is empowering companies to embrace change. Is that easy to remember or what?
Yeah.
So when your mission statement, it should try to be 7 words or less, and then you can remember it and you can quickly make decisions all day long. Saying yes to great opportunities and moving forward on mission is how you fulfill your destiny and ultimately become self-actualized. Because the more you listen to your intuition, the more you're following your mission, the more synchronicity happens in your life and what you want starts coming to you. But you have to do the work.
Right.
Okay. You have to take those micro risks in order to take the bold leaps.
Yeah. And that was a piece of my question as well. So I'm completely on board with the mission statement. I think that's a wonderful, you know, it's short, to the point, and it's easy to remember. Leading up to that, you know, there had been points, I feel like I'm more clear in my mission now, but than even maybe a year ago, but it's been a journey. So what other steps do you recommend that people take before they can even get clear on their mission statement? Or is mission statement one of the beginning ones, and then if it needs change down the road, you change it down the road?
Well, the first thing, I think it's an output. So in the book, it comes sort of towards the front, but definitely not at the beginning, right? Because the first thing I'm trying to teach the people who read the book to do is tune into their intuition, tune into their second brain, which is their gut, mm-hmm. and learn how to follow their instincts and understand that they are in abundance and not in scarcity, that they have an abundant feeling about their life, that this is that there's so much that's happening for them, not to them, and sort of shifting their thinking. into a more positive place. I think that's step number one before you can come up even with a mission.
Absolutely. And I think so many of us have spent so much time suppressing that intuition, trying to use the rational side of the brain, trying to use solely logic. And it takes a little bit of practice and implementation to start to bring that intuition and that gut feeling back to the forefront if you've been ignoring it for so long. You know, it's something that parenting has really helped me in that, because a lot of times you don't have much else to lean on, or things aren't going to go as smoothly. And then being able to transition that and start to utilize that same intuition into my career was another. It felt like a micro risk. It shouldn't have, but it felt like trusting something that I wasn't fully confident in yet.
Exactly. I think parenting is a great example of how we have to be fearless and in the moment. And you know, for the women that are listening, I mean, this is our superpower, mm-hmm. right? That we have this intuition, yet we go into fear and doubt all the time. Because the voice is in our head. And there's a whole chapter on how to quiet your inner judge mm-hmm. in the book, which is like towards the end. So I start out with, here's the intuition, because once you do all there, by the way, the book is a micro risk in itself, because it's filled with exercises that are going to bring to life like your true purpose. But before that, you ask what comes before that is envisioning your future. What do you really want in the next 6 months? What really makes you happy at work? When is time flying? You're having so much fun. What story do you want to tell the world? What's your intention every day when you get up and go to work? Like, how do you shift that into a place of success? So there's so many exercises in there that can lead you to be a courageous leader and, you know, turn your life, I don't know, shift it into something that is in the positive zone.
Yeah, I love all of the practical exercises that you include within the book. One that really stood out to me was, I believe it was, is it chapter 9, where it was tell your greatest story. And you kind of walk through all of these great tips of how to share your story with the world, kind of how to brand yourself, how to present yourself, and not just in general terms. You give great suggestions of prompts and ideas, you know, maybe a story about XYZ. And I felt it was so helpful. Just reading through, it was sparking so many ideas for me, which a lot of times is rare to find in a book, unfortunately. So I appreciate that side of things. And I appreciate you took the time to share that knowledge in such a practical, tangible way.
Well, I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, facts tell, but stories sell. And in everything I do with my clients, and even when I'm pitching myself, I'm always telling stories. And one of the stories that I tell over and over is that my father raised my sister and me all by himself. Mm-hmm. And he was an ad man. So by the time I was 11, I was a latchkey kid, which meant that he gave me a key. And every day after school, I'd go home by myself because he was working. And I would start to get dinner on the table. And after dinner, my sister and I would clear the table and he'd lay out ads for his clients. And we would help him with the headlines and what image goes here. And I was an ad man by the time I was 12. And I learned it all at the kitchen table. And I made a bet with my dad when I turned 18 that I would have my own ad agency by the time I was 30. And that is exactly what I did. And I kept that bet. Yeah. And I tell that story every time I pitch a client. And if you go on my LinkedIn page to Robin Fisher Roffer on LinkedIn, you'll see that little story is in two sentences baked right into my bio. Because I think the superhero backstory that you have about how you triumphed over adversity, which is being raised by a single dad, being a latchkey kid, and you didn't hear me whining about it, actually became the greatest gifts I could have. You know, that's what defines you and your true character to a potential client, to a potential employer, to somebody who you want to get a raise or a promotion from. Who are you at the core? And so many times we hide these stories. We don't want to tell things that are vulnerable. We want to put on our game face, But those stories are what people remember. And as a matter of fact, I told that story to the chief revenue officer at Scripps, which owns Food Network and HGTV and Travel Channel. And I told him that story. And 1 year later, he said, I want everybody in my entire sales force to have a story like that. And he hired me, and I've been with them for 5 years.
That's amazing. I love it. And exactly what you said, it makes you human. It makes you relatable. It makes us feel for you, but not in a pity way, in a, wow, she's strong, and she's come from this and turned it into something incredible. I think it's a fantastic idea to be able to have that, as opposed to maybe some of your more traditional, like, elevator pitch type things. This is such a relatable human thing, which is also a shift that I feel like we've seen a lot recently, that we expect our brands and our businesses to have more of a personal touch. Have you seen that? How have you been able to help companies shift into not just being the end-all be-all brand, but telling the story?
Well, I've gotten people away, executives away and business owners away from listing out their products and features and just telling a great story, right, about what they can do for your business or for, you know, your life, depending on what they're selling, a product or a service, but in a storytelling way. And that is the big shift that's happening now. And I think it's because of social media, because of, you know, the proliferation of content. We want great storytelling, whether, you know, whether it's on a post you put on Twitter, even though it's only, what, 120 characters, or it's, you know, a story, a blog you've written, or a podcast just like this one. They want stories. Mm-hmm. And so that is really what I've always done for my clients, but it just is super in vogue right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. So you have a knack for it. So I'm sure you're also in vogue, considering that's a good thing for you, for sure. One other thing I wanted to touch on quickly is the concept of imposter syndrome, which I think is so prevalent. I think that kind of paired with that, I don't know. I guess my question is, where's the line between fake it till you make it and being confident in what you've done? It's tough. It's hard to know when you've made it. It's hard to know what's good enough. So what's your advice for someone struggling with feeling like they don't deserve what they actually want? They're not 100% on believing that they're going to be able to accomplish what they say in their mission statement.
Wow. That is,
I know, I packed a lot in there. Sorry.
That's an incredible question. I mean, you're talking about fear of success, right? Yeah. That you finally made it and now you're afraid you don't deserve it. There's an unworthiness that is running through your veins. It's probably from your DNA. It could have been whispered in your ear as a child by one of your parents or your teachers. And it's that inner judge that's telling you haven't made it. And I think it's when we go into this place of fear again. So this is why I wrote this book, The No Fear Career. Fear and doubt enters in times of uncertainty. And when those ants are running around in your brain, what Christine Closer taught me, a great coach, she taught me to take a piece of paper and write down all the trash that is in your head. I'm not good enough. I don't have an education for this. I only know how to do 80% of this job or 50% of this job. They're going to figure out that I'm an imposter. All these things that you're saying come up. And you write it all down on a piece of paper and you write trash on it and you rip it up in little pieces, or you light it on fire, or you pound it with a rock. You do something and it's like, no trash is going to get in my head. Get it all out. Don't obsess over it and don't keep thinking these negative thoughts. Write them all down. Then take out a piece of paper that says truth and write down the truth, which is your track record of success. I'm a great mom. I'm a fantastic coworker. I get it done. I get it. Mm-hmm. I've got this. You know, people trust me. People, whatever you want to say, put the truth down, the real truth. And then you're going to feel fantastic. The clouds are going to clear. Another thing you can do is grab a friend or colleague and say, and ask them, what are you happy about in this moment? What are you satisfied with in this moment? And what are you grateful for? And then have them ask the same questions to you. And I'm telling you, two people in a room that are going into that place of gratitude in this moment, it's so powerful. And then you practice that every day. And this is how you start to believe that where you're at is exactly perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. We could probably talk forever. I know that you need to run. Before we wrap things up, I want to make sure that people know how to find you, find your books. I'll make sure that I link to everything in the show notes as well. But how can people reach you?
Well, I love LinkedIn because they're going to get to go see that profile that I wrote, and hopefully they'll become fearless in writing something about themselves that humanizes themselves and makes them memorable just by reading about them. So LinkedIn, I'll be your friend. Go for it. Amazon, that's where the book is. Your No Fear Career, put in Robin Fisher Offer, Your No Fear Career, it'll come right up. And the third thing is my Facebook fan page is another fun place for us to become friends. That's there.
Perfect. And then is that under your name?
Okay. Robin Fisher Offer. And then bigfishmarketing.com is my website. And I've got about 100 blogs on there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts for us before we have to run?
Stay fearless. Take a micro risk today. A little thing. You want to run a marathon? Go start walking every morning for 30 minutes. You want to write a book? Go write a page every day. A little tiny micro risk. Take a class. Listen to this podcast every day. Do something that gets your brain out of the fear zone and into a no fear place. And say yes. Say yes to something today. Yes to an opportunity and go for it. And let the chips fall where they may.
And go buy your book. Once it comes out, I'm going to add that one. I'll plug it for
you.
I do genuinely recommend it. I want to go back and work through the exercises a little bit more in depth. I really appreciate the book. I appreciate what you're doing and sharing the message. And we'll make sure that we keep up with you and keep following you. It's the fun part of social media. I can watch your YouTube videos. I can buy your books. It's awesome. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for reaching out to me. It's been fun talking to you.
You too, Robin. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.